Welcome to the Deep Dive. This is where we take your questions, dig into a pile of sources, and pull out the key info you need to get up to speed fast.
Basically, your shortcut to being well-informed.
Exactly. And today, we're diving into an adventure in, well, one of the most incredible places on Earth. Torres del Paine National Park.
Chilean Patagonia, yeah. Beautiful spot.
Right. So one of you is planning this amazing 5-day, 4-night camping trip. It's on the W Trek, late November, specifically the 22nd to the 26th.
And they're hiking east to west. Plus, there's a specific focus planning this as an egalitarian hiker. That adds another layer.
It really does. So for this deep dive, we've looked at, well, everything we could find. Hiking guides, trekker blog posts, lots of Reddit threads, naturally.
And the official park info operator website's the works.
Our mission here is pretty straightforward. Give you, our listener, a really solid, practical grasp of what's involved so you can plan this trip and have it be incredible.
We're hitting the big topics, that famous Patagonian weather, the day-by-day itinerary, camping safety in that environment.
Food strategies, big one, for an egalitarian, especially with Chilean customs, and, of course, getting physically ready for it.
Yeah, and we found some surprising bits, some really practical tips to hopefully cut through all the noise online.
Okay, let's jump in. First stop, the thing everyone warned you about in Patagonia. The weather. What's it really like in late November?
Okay, late November. It's springtime down there, which is great, actually. You generally get fewer crowds than peak summer.
That's a plus.
And the plants, the vegetation, it's all starting to bloom, look really vibrant. But spring doesn't mean calm, gentle weather. Not in Patagonia.
Right. Dynamic is the word I keep hearing.
Highly dynamic. Changeable is almost putting it mildly.
So temperature-wise, what should you actually pack for?
Expect a pretty big swing. Daytime averages, they can be anywhere from 8 to 18 degrees Celsius. That's about 47 to 64 Fahrenheit.
Okay.
Though some sources hinted that late November might skew a bit cooler, maybe more like 8 to 10 C, so 47 to 51 F. The thing is, microclimates are huge there. It can vary a lot just moving around the park.
And nights. Definitely colder.
Oh, yeah. Nighttime lows average around 2 to 7 Celsius. That's 36 to 45 Fahrenheit. You should definitely be prepared for temperatures nudging freezing, especially if you're camping a bit higher up.
So multiple warm layers are absolutely non-negotiable.
Essential. Now, about that wind.
The legendary wind. What's the reality in late November?
It's legendary for a reason. It's often the biggest challenge. November can be seriously windy. Average speeds might be around, say, 23 miles per hour.
Which is already pretty breezy.
Right. But the gusts, they can easily top 37, even 53 miles per hour. Or more.
Wow.
And here's the key thing. The wind chill is brutal. It makes even mild air temps feel freezing. It makes hiking harder, especially on exposed ridges.
Intense. Must be rough on tents.
Oh, yeah. Especially at open campsites like Pine Grande. We even saw a report saying strong winds can sometimes shut down the catamaran service on Lake Pahoy, so it's a major factor to plan around.
Okay, wind is serious business. What about rain? Snow?
You should definitely plan for wet weather. An umbrella is useless in that wind, obviously. But yeah, there's maybe a 28 to 44% chance of rain on any given day in November.
So pretty likely you'll see some rain.
Probably. Often it's light rain, maybe some flurries. But you could get persistent soaking rain, too. Total rainfall for the month isn't massive, maybe an inch or so. But being prepared to stay dry is critical.
And snow. Still possible.
Definitely possible. Especially higher up or if a cold front blows through. Don't rule it out.
So pack for wind, pack for rain, maybe even snow. Is there any good weather news for late November?
Yes, absolutely. The daylight hours are fantastic. You get loads of daylight, like 15 and a half, almost 16 hours.
Oh, wow. That's great for hiking.
Huge advantage. Sunrise is super early, like 5:50 a.m., and sunset isn't until, what, 9:15, 9:20 p.m.? Plenty of time.
Great.
But in Patagonia, severe weather can still eat into that usable time. So building in some buffer time each day is smart.
It really does sound like that old saying is true. Four seasons in a day.
It's spot on. The weather flips incredibly fast. You can have bright sunshine, the howling wind, then rain, cold, maybe even snow, all within hours.
So layering isn't just advice, it's survival.
Absolutely. You have to be able to adapt constantly. Pack layers you can easily add or remove throughout the day. Be ready for anything every single morning.
All right, weather plan. Be prepared for absolutely everything. Got it. Let's move on to the trek itself. The 5-day, 4-night, east-to-west plan camping focus. Give us the overview.
Okay, the W trek. It literally follows a W shape on the map. Going east to west means you start near the Los Torres area.
Right, near the famous towers.
Exactly. And you finish over at Pin Grande on the west side. Then you take that catamaran across Lake Pehoe to leave.
And starting east means you hit that big towers hike early, right?
Day one, yeah. It's arguably the most challenging climb right off the bat.
Okay, walk us through day one, arrival and hitting the trail.
So day one, you'll likely arrive by bus at Laguna Amarga. First stop is registering with CONEF, the Park Service.
Gotta check in.
Then there's usually a shuttle that takes you closer to the Welcome Center near Hotel Las Torres. Your first night's camp is Camp Central, run by Las Torres Patagonia.
Okay. And the hike.
The main event is the day hike up to the Mirador Base de Las Torres, that viewpoint at the base of the granite towers. It's stunning.
The iconic photo spot.
That's the one. You'll do this with just a day pack. It's about 900 meters elevation gain, roughly 21 kilometers or 13 miles round trip. Plan for 8 to 10 hours.
And it's tough.
It's rated high difficulty. So yeah, like we said, good fitness from the start is important. It's a demanding first day. Pace yourself, drink plenty of water.
Sounds incredible, but definitely a challenging start. What about day two?
Day two is generally a bit easier. You trek west from Camp Central. The trail follows Lake Nordenskjold, beautiful views across the lake towards Monte Almirante Nieto.
Nice. And where do you camp?
Your destination is either Camp Francis or Camp Cornos. They're pretty close together, both run by Las Torres Patagonia. Cornos usually opens around November 1st, so should be open for your dates.
How far is that hike?
To Francis, it's about 12.5 kilometers, maybe 8 miles. To Cornos, a bit further, around 16 kilometers or 10 miles. Should take roughly 4 to 5 hours. It's generally considered medium difficulty.
So, a bit of a breather after day one.
Relatively speaking, yeah. Enjoy the lake views, conserve some energy.
Good advice. Day three, that's French Valley Day, right? The middle part of the W.
Exactly. Day three is a big one. You hike from Francis or Cuernos towards the entrance of the French Valley. You'll pass Camp Italiano. That's a basic CUNAF ranger station.
And you can leave your big pack there.
Often, yes. Makes the climb into the valley much easier. The trail goes up into the valley. It can be quite rugged in places. You climb to the French Plateau viewpoint.
The views are supposed to be amazing there.
Incredible. You see Los Cuernos peaks, hanging glaciers on Pain Grand Mountain, turquoise lagoons. You might even hear avalanches rumbling off the glaciers.
Wow.
There's an option to go further up to Mirador Botanico, right at the head of the valley, but that adds significant time and effort.
Okay, so gauge your energy levels.
Definitely. After exploring, you head back down to Italiano, grab your main pack, and then continue hiking west to Camp Pain Grande. That's on the shore of Lake Pehoe.
How long is day three overall?
It varies a lot depending on how far you go up the valley. Could be anywhere from 14 to 22 kilometers, say 9 to 14 miles. Probably 6, 7 hours or more of hiking. It's another high difficulty day.
So day one and day three are the toughest.
Generally, yes. French Valley is stunning, but don't underestimate it.
Got it. Day four, heading towards Gray Glacier.
That's right. Day four, you hike north from Pain Grande. The trail heads towards Gray Glacier and Lake Gray. The views just get more and more dramatic as you get closer.
Icebergs in the lake.
Oh, yeah. Usually lots of bright blue icebergs floating in the lake, calved off the glacier. It's spectacular. You might cross some suspension bridges too for better views.
Cool. And the campsite?
Camp Gray. It's run by Virtus Patagonia. Should be open from early November.
Distance and difficulty for day four.
About 11 to 17 kilometers, maybe 7 to 11 miles, depends if you do side trips to viewpoints. It's generally medium difficulty, maybe 3.5 to 5 hours of hiking.
Sounds like a visually stunning day.
It really is. The scale of the glacier is hard to comprehend until you see it. Trail can be exposed in places, though.
Good to know.
Yeah.
And finally, day five, wrapping up and heading out.
Day five, you have options in the morning. Maybe hike a bit further north from Camp Gray for one last look at the glacier or hit those bridges again.
Or just start heading back.
Right. Then you retrace your steps south back to Pain Grande. The key thing is getting to Pain Grande in time for the afternoon catamaran ferry across Lake Pehoe to Pudedo.
And the bus connection.
Exactly. At Pudedo, you'll connect with your pre-booked bus back to Puerto Natales.
How long is the hike back?
Minimum is about 11 kilometers, 7 miles from Camp Gray. So at least 3.5 hours of hiking. You must know the ferry schedule and allow plenty of time. Don't cut it close.
Absolutely critical timing on the last day.
Crucial. Don't miss that boat.
So that's the 5-day plan. Any final key reminders about this itinerary?
Yeah, definitely check this general plan against your actual campsite reservations. Those bookings lock in your route.
Right, the bookings are king.
And remember, distances and times are estimates, weather, trail conditions, your own pace. It all affects the actual time.
Be flexible.
And just double check all confirmations, especially since late November is still kind of early season. Make sure everything's confirmed with Las Torres and Vertice.
Good practical advice.
Yeah.
Okay, itinerary nailed down. Let's talk about actually camping there safely,
Right.
especially with that wild weather.
Right. Camping is an amazing way to experience the park, but yeah, preparation is key. Safety really boils down to managing that weather, knowing the campsite specifics, and following the park rules religiously.
We keep coming back to the weather. What are the main hazards campers face?
Wind. Number one, easily. We talked about the gusts. They can shred tents, make sleep impossible, make pitching a nightmare.
Especially in those open spots.
Exactly. Pain Grande is notoriously exposed. Then there's the cold at night near freezing is common, and rain or snow means staying dry is paramount. Hypothermia is a real risk if you get wet and cold.
So, how do you fight back against those elements? Let's start with the wind again. What can you do?
Get a good tent. Seriously, a sturdy three-season or ideally a four-season tent designed for wind. Practice pitching it before you go, a lot.
Know your gear.
Use every single guy line. Stake it down securely. Maybe bring stronger or specialized stakes. When you get to camp, look for the most sheltered spot you can find, even if it's just behind a small rise or some bushes.
Every little bit helps.
It really can. Carry tent repair tape and a pole splint, just in case. And if it gets truly violent, stay inside, wait it out.
What about those pre-pitched tent options?
Yeah, the premium camping some sites offer, they tend to use more robust, permanently anchored tents. It costs more, but it's an option if you're really worried about wind or pitching your own.
Okay, wind countermeasures covered. How about staying warm at night?
Good sleeping bag is crucial. Comfort rating of -5 to -9 Celsius, that's 15 to 25 Fahrenheit, is a good target.
And the sleeping mat. People underestimate those.
Hugely important. You lose a ton of heat to the cold ground. Get an insulated mat with a high R value. R value measures insulation higher is warmer. Inflatables often give the best warmth for the weight.
Other tips for sleeping warm.
Wear thermal-based layers, merino or synthetic, and a warm hat to bed makes a big difference.
Got it. And keeping dry, rain, and maybe snow.
Your tent needs to be properly waterproof, seam sealed. That's your first line of defense. Inside your pack, use waterproof dry bags for critical stuff, sleeping bag, electronics.
That cover's not enough.
They help, but driving rain and wind can get around them. Internal dry bags are more reliable, and absolutely invest in good quality waterproof and breathable rain jacket and pants, Gore-Tex or equivalent.
Okay, shelter sorted. What are the campsites actually like? The paid ones, Las Torres and Verdesi facilities.
They're generally pretty decent for backcountry sites. You'll usually find flushing toilets, sinks with cold water, and showers.
Hot showers.
Variable. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, sometimes only at certain hours. Depends on the site, the time, maybe even the weather. Don't count on a long hot shower every night.
I have cooking.
Designated cooking shelters, that's the only place you can cook using your gas stove. They usually have a roof, tables, sinks. Potable water taps are available too.
Can you buy stuff there? Food, supplies.
Some have mini markets or bars. Central, Francis, Cuernos, Pain Grande, Gray. You can get snacks, drinks, maybe some basics like pasta, sauce, sometimes eggs, beer, wine, maybe. Fuel canisters too, sometimes.
But expensive and limited selection.
Yeah, expect high prices and don't rely on them having exactly what you need. Good for a treat or emergency top-up, maybe.
And the tent spots themselves, grass, platforms.
Depends. Central and Pain Grande are mostly large, open, grassy areas, can be very exposed. Francis and Cuernos often have wooden platforms tucked into trees or hillsides.
More shelter there, but need a freestanding tent.
Platforms definitely help with shelter. And yeah, a freestanding tent or one you can adapt to peg out on a platform is useful there. Gray has a mix, some trees, some open areas.
Good to know the terrain varies. What about park rules? The really crucial ones for campers.
Number one, absolutely end no open fires. Anywhere, ever. The fire risk is extreme, penalties are severe. Use your gas stove only and only in the designated shelters. Never leave it unattended.
Got it. No fires.
Pack it in, pack it out. All trash comes out with you unless there are designated bins at the campsite. Stay on the marked trails, orange markers usually. Protects the fragile ground, avoids getting
Looks like
lost.
closures too, right?
Absolutely. And camp only in your pre-booked designated campsite or refugio. No wild camping allowed. And respect the wildlife, no feeding, store food securely, observe from a distance.
Seems straightforward. Basic leave no trace principles. What about essential safety gear beyond the tent and clothes?
Navigation tools are key. Carry the park map, know how to use it, compass as backup. Offline digital maps on your phone are good supplements, but don't rely only on electronics.
Batteries die, phones break.
Exactly. Communication.
Yeah.
Basically, no cell service. Consider renting a satellite phone or carrying a PLB personal locator beacon for real emergencies. Let someone know your itinerary and when you expect to be back in contact.
First aid.
Comprehensive kit. Know how to use it, especially blister care, moleskin, Compeed, duct tape, whatever works for you. Prevent them if you can.
Blisters can ruin a trek.
Totally. Carry your passport and that PDI tourist card you get entering Chile. You'll need them for check-ins. Stay hydrated, eat regularly. Hiking poles are highly recommended.
For stability, knees.
All of the above. Especially helpful in wind, creates a tripod stance. And a reliable headlamp with spare batteries is non-negotiable.
Okay, safety checklist covered. Let's switch to fuel food. This is big for our egalitarian listener. What are the main choices here? Carry it all or buy meals?
That's the core decision, yeah. Rely on campsite meals or bring your own. Each has pros and cons, especially thinking about cost, weight, convenience, dietary needs, and those tricky Chilean customs rules.
Let's break down option one. Eating at the campsites. How does that work?
Both Las Torres and Vertes offer meals at their refugios or dining halls. You can book full board dinner, breakfast, packed lunch, or half board, just dinner and breakfast, sometimes individual meals.
Need to book ahead.
Absolutely. Book well in advance, especially for shoulder season, like late November. They have limited capacity. Trying to buy meals a la carte on the spot is risky, might not be available.
And the cost. We touched on this, it's pricey.
Very full board is like $130 per person per day, maybe more with Vertes. Half board around $90. Individual meals add up fast. $35 for breakfast, $40 packed lunch, $65 dinner, roughly.
Whoa, okay.
A la carte, if you find it, maybe $7, $14 for a sandwich, $7, $10 for a beer or wine. It's definitely a significant expense.
Okay, definitely budget-busting potential.
Yeah.
How suitable is it for an egalitarian, though? Do they cater for that?
They say they offer vegetarian options, but you must request it in advance. Los Torres wants a week's notice. Vertes prefers 30 days for dietary needs.
What kind of veggie food do they typically offer?
Reports vary. Can be basic, but filling, pasta, rice, veggie stews, salads, maybe a veggie burger. Breakfast usually has cereal, toast, fruit, yogurt, hot drinks. And importantly for you, eggs are often available or included.
So eggs for breakfast are likely.
Pretty likely, yeah. Packed lunches, if veggie, are often a cheese sandwich, which you'd need to confirm is okay. Fruit, trail mix, a sweet treat. Dinner is usually soup, main, dessert.
So theoretically compatible.
Theoretically. Eggs at breakfast are good. Veggie lunches, dinner should work, but quality and variety get mixed reviews. Some call it fancy plain food, others poor. Depends on the place, the cook, the day.
And it relies on their interpretation of vegetarian.
Exactly. Pain Grande's buffet might offer more choice, but overall, it's convenient, saves carrying food weight, but it's expensive, and the food could be basic or inconsistent. Veg options exist if booked, but might lack excitement.
Okay, that's option one. What about option two? Bringing your own food. The big hurdle here is customs, right?
SAG. Yes, Chilean customs, SAG, are famously strict about biosecurity. They want to protect their agriculture.
What's definitely not allowed?
Fresh fruit, fresh veggies, unprocessed meat, most dairy, including most cheese, seeds, grains, honey, anything with soil, big no-nos.
And you have to declare everything.
Mandatory. Declare all food of plant or animal origin. They x-ray bags, use sniffer dogs. Fines for not declaring can be hefty. Don't risk it.
So what might get through if declared?
Best bet is commercially packaged, processed, sealed, labeled stuff. Think freeze-dried meals, energy bars, sealed trail mix, sealed peanut butter, instant coffee oatmeal.
Homemade stuff in Ziplocs.
Probably confiscated. Even commercially sealed cheese or cured meats are officially risky, though some people get them through. It's a gamble.
So for egalitarian hiker, what does this mean? No fresh eggs?
Definitely no fresh eggs. Cheese is officially out. So risky. Safest bet for bringing food from home would be things like sealed energy bars, maybe some commercial freeze-dried veggie meals, instant oats, PB powder.
But the absolute safest way.
Buy everything in Puerto Natales after you arrive in Chile. Avoids all customs risks. Plenty of supermarkets there.
Okay, buying in Puerto Natales seems the way to go to avoid hassle. If you do bring your own food, remind us about cooking rules in the park.
Gas stove only. Only in the designated cooking shelters. Never leave it unattended. No open fires.
But free hot water is a thing.
Often, yes.
Hmm.
Many Refugio campsite cooking areas have free hot water available from a tap or thermos. Huge plus. Great for oatmeal, couscous, ramen, instant soups, hot drinks. Saves a lot of fuel and time.
Smart tip. So if you're buying in Puerto Natales and planning an egetarian menu, what kind of lightweight, high-energy stuff should you look for?
Okay, breakfast. Instant oats are perfect. Add nuts, seeds, dried fruit, maybe powdered milk bought there, instant coffee tea. Lunch, crackers, tortillas, or dense bread. Peanut butter power is great, or packets. Jam, maybe some hard cheese for the first day or two. Trail mix, nuts, bars, hard-boiled eggs cook before you start. Eat on day one.
Dinner ideas.
Couscous, ramen, instant potatoes, pasta, quick cooking bases. Add protein like lentils, dehydrated chickpeas, maybe TVP if you find it. Dried veggies. Flavor with instant soup powder, bouillon cubes, spices.
And snacks are key too.
Absolutely. Nuts, seeds, dried fruit are calorie dense. Energy bars, protein bars, granola bars, chocolate, veggie jerky if you can find it. Keep snacking throughout the day.
So weighing the options campsite meals versus carrying your own versus customs, what's the recommended strategy for our listener?
Honestly, a hybrid approach probably makes the most sense. It balances everything.
How would that work?
Maybe bring a few absolute favorite snacks or bars from home, declare them, of course. Perhaps a couple of specific freeze-dried veggie dinners if you have ones you love. Then do the main food shop in Puerto Natales.
Get the staples there.
Yeah. Pasta, couscous, ramen, bread crackers, nuts, dried fruit. Superfruit store is popular there. Maybe some local cheese for the start. Instant soup, treats.
And leverage the campsite facilities.
Definitely use the free hot water. Maybe treat yourself to an a la carte item occasionally.
Cool.
Or pre-book a couple of breakfasts where you know you'll likely get eggs. Or maybe book dinner on the last night. Request vegetarian for any booked meals.
So best of both worlds.
Pretty much. Minimizes customs risk, manages pack weight better than carrying everything, saves money compared to full board, gives you dietary control, and uses the campsite resources smartly.
That sounds like a really solid, practical plan. And we do have that comparison table of campsite food services in the notes for you to check out details for each specific site.
Yeah, that should help fine-tune the plan.
Okay, let's shift gears one last time. Getting ready physically. The W Trek isn't just a walk in the park, is it?
Definitely not. It's a serious physical challenge. You're looking at, what, 70, 80 kilometers, 45, 50 miles, over 5 days.
Long days, big climbs.
Yeah. Some days over 20 kilometers, 12.5 miles. Significant ups and downs, especially the towers and French Valley. Terrain is uneven, rocky, could be muddy, slippery.
And carrying a pack the whole time.
A pack weighing 10, 15 kilos, 22, 33 pounds, maybe more, depending on your gear and food choices. Altitude isn't a huge issue, but you need good cardio fitness, leg strength, and real hiking endurance.
So what should training focus on?
Three main things. One, cardiovascular endurance. Can you keep moving at a moderate pace for hours, day after day? Hiking, running, cycling, swimming, treadmill on an incline, Stairmaster, whatever works for you. Two, muscular strength. Strong legs are obvious. Quads, hamstrings, calves. But also core strength for stability and back shoulders to carry the pack comfortably. Squats, lunges, step-ups, planks, rows, that kind of thing.
And the third sounds like the most important.
Hiking-specific conditioning, absolutely essential. You have to practice hiking on actual trails if possible, with hills, uneven ground. Gradually increase distance and time to match the longest W Trek days, 15 to 23 kilometers.
And crucially,
hike with your pack. Start light, but gradually increase the weight until you're comfortable hiking long distances with the full weight you plan to carry, that 10, 15 plus kilograms. This conditions the right muscles, highlights gear issues, builds confidence. Nothing replaces hiking with weight.
Makes total sense.
Huh.
Do you have a rough training timeline people could adapt? Say 8, 12 weeks out?
Yeah, here's a basic framework. Adapt it based on your starting fitness and time. Consistency is key. And, you know, check with the doctor first.
Of course. Weeks 1 to 4.
Build a base. Cardio 2-3 times a week, 30, 60 minutes. One hike a week, maybe 5-8 kilometers with a light pack. Strength 1-2 times. Body weight stuff is fine.
Weeks 5-8.
Ramp it up. Keep up the cardio. Weekend hike gets longer. 10-15 kilometers. Start adding weight to the pack. Maybe 8-12 kilograms. Maybe try shorter back-to-back hikes if you can. Increase strength work, more reps, weight. Focus on leg score back.
Weeks 9-11. Peak phase.
Exactly. Long weekend hikes now. Aiming for 15-23 kilometers with your target pack weight. Find hills. Hike inclines with the pack. If you can swing a practice multi-day hike, even better. Maintain cardio strength maybe twice a week.
And the final week, week 12.
Taper and rest. Cut back the volume. Light walks. Stretching. Focus on final gear prep, nutrition. Let your body recover. Also, mental prep is part of training. Nailing those long hikes builds belief you can do it, especially when facing tough weather.
Great outline. Very helpful. Okay, almost there. Before you start throwing gear in the bag, what are the absolute must-have gear highlights for this specific trip, late November camping?
Right, packing smart is crucial. It's all about handling cold nights, strong wind, and rain. Layering, again, is the foundation.
Shelter first, pent, sleeping bag, mat.
Tent, good quality 3 or 4 season. Wind resistant, waterproof, seams sealed. Freestanding helps on platforms. Bring a repair kit. Sleeping bag, comfort rated Mark 5 to 99C, 1525F. Liner adds warmth, keeps bag cleaner. Down versus synthetic, down is lighter pack, smaller. Synthetic handles damp better. Sleeping mat, insulated, high R value, crucial for warmth. Inflatable, often best balance.
Clothing layers. Quick recap.
Base, merino or synthetic long underwear, no cotton.
Sure.
Mid, fleece, light puffy jacket, down or synthetic. Multiple thin layers are versatile. Shell, high quality waterproof and windproof jacket and pants. Gore-Tex or similar, essential. Hiking pants, durable, quick dry synthetic. Zip-offs are handy, maybe fleece pants for camp warmth. Shirts, synthetic hiking shirts, short long sleeves. Socks, several pairs, wool or synthetic hiking socks. Dry pair just for sleeping. Accessories, warm hat beanie, windproof gloves, sun hat, sunglasses, buff neck gaiter.
Footwear, boots, and camp shoes.
Boots, sturdy, waterproof, ankle support, most importantly. Well broken in. Don't buy new boots just before the trip. Camp shoes, lightweight, like Crocs or sandals. Give your feet a rest, air out boots in the evening.
Backpack size.
Comfortable, adjustable fit is key. Around 60, 70 liters if carrying all gear food. Maybe 35, 50 liters if using more services. Good hip belt is vital. Rain cover optional, internal dry bags often better. Small packable day pack can be useful too.
Other critical bits and pieces.
Hiking poles, strongly recommended. Water bottles, bladder, 1 to 2 liters. Maybe a filter. Reliable headlamp, spare batteries, first aid kit, heavy on blister care. Sunscreen, high SPF, sunglasses, map, compass, offline maps backup, dry bags, power bank, passport PDI card.
That's a comprehensive list. Okay, let's wrap this deep dive up. Quick summary. Key takeaways for our listener planning this late November eggetarian camping W trek.
Okay. One, weather is wild, unpredictable. Prepare for everything. Wind, rain, cold, maybe snow. Good gear and adaptable mindset are crucial. Two, book campsites way ahead, essential. Your itinerary depends on it. Three, food strategy, that hybrid approach looks best for an egalitarian. Balance carrying some, buying staples locally, using free hot water, maybe booking a few key meals. Be mindful of customs. Four, train properly. It's a tough trek. Build cardio, strength, and hike lots with your weighted pack.
And that hybrid food plan really does seem like the smart play here.
Yeah, it navigates the cost, weight, convenience, diet, and customs issues pretty effectively.
And of course, we got to say it again. Respect the park rules, leave no trace, keep Patagonia beautiful.
Absolutely fundamental. It's a privilege to hike there.
So, final thought for you, our listener, gearing up for this incredible trip. Knowing everything we've discussed about the crazy Patagonian weather, what's the one piece of gear you personally would absolutely refuse to compromise on? Something to really ponder as you finalize your packing list. Think about those trade-offs.
Ooh, good question. Makes you really prioritize what matters most for your safety and comfort out there. Lots to consider.
We really hope this has helped you get a solid handle on planning your W Trek adventure. If you have more questions or want to share how it went afterwards, please do reach out. For now, happy planning and enjoy every step of that incredible journey.